Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Random Chatter. This is our weekly news show this time. And I'm your host, Eric. I'm joined tonight by Chris. Chris, how you doing?
I'm pretty good. Tired, but good.
All right. Yeah, we've kind of run the marathon of shows tonight. In fact, we lost Lou. He's gone to bed.
Lucky.
Yeah, I'd make some kind of age joke, but he wouldn't be here to hear it. So what would be the point?
But hey, everything that goes wrong in this episode gets his, and we can blame him. So
that's very true. And it's always nice to have someone to blame. So that's good. All right, so let's start out with the lightning round. We brought this up during the Random Chatter recap episode back on Tuesday. So, if you are into the Five Nights at Freddy's iOS game, there was a movie that had been announced, and it was in the process of pre-production or something, I guess. I don't know exactly the state, but now it has gone back to the drawing board. Sorry, don't expect it anytime soon. Netflix has renewed its One Day at a Time reboot for a second season. Also renewed for second seasons are Lethal Weapon and The Mick. Gina Torres is confirmed for the Suits spinoff on USA. The Bumblebee Transformers spinoff movie will be directed by Travis Knight, director of Academy Award-nominated Kubo and the Two Strings. The important thing is it's not Michael Bay.
That is true.
So, that's something. We're moving in the right direction. Arnold Schwarzenegger quits Celebrity Apprentice. He has cited low ratings due to the anti-Trump boycotts on the show. For those who don't know, Trump is still listed as an executive producer and allegedly is still raking in a lot of cash from it. Of course, Trump claims that Arnold is the reason for the low ratings. Actually, no, Trump has claimed that the lack of Trump is the reason for the low ratings. I mean, let's be clear here. And has stated that Arnold was fired. Of course.
Mm. So it's almost like Donald never left the show. If he's
right?
Still saying, you're fired.
Right. Exactly.
Hey, he can always leave the presidency and go back to The Apprentice.
I would be okay with that.
If he thinks it's doing so badly. I mean, it's an option.
That's true. Oh, sometimes I wish this were a political podcast. Almost never, but recently it's started becoming a thing.
Hey, we can make one.
No. I'm sorry, did I think about that for too long before answering? Nintendo Switch video game system apparently had a very strong launch. I think it was one of the best launches in GameStop history. It's generally gotten a lot of praise. But there have been some issues. We're going to talk about that here in a few minutes. Remember how Patrick Stewart said that he was done playing the X-Men Professor X character? No more X-Men movies for Patrick Stewart. Well, he has changed his mind. It's not so much that he's changed his mind. He's clarified. The clarification is a very important one. If he were asked to resume his role as Professor Charles Xavier for Deadpool, he would do it.
I'd make an exception for Deadpool, too.
I would, too, because it's Deadpool. And finally, some bad news for those of us attending Star Wars Celebration in Orlando this year. We are going to miss out on the premiere of Mystery Science Theater 3000 on Netflix. Not the premiere of old episodes, but the new series of episodes with Jonah Ray and with Felicia Day and Patton Oswalt. We're going to miss that. That'll be on April 14th on Netflix. So I guess that night there'll be a lot of people in Orlando streaming it from hotel rooms. Those of us who aren't exhausted and falling asleep on the hotel room floor because we just can't make it the extra few feet to the bed.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. So let's move on to the actual news commentary here. Logan apparently had a pretty good weekend. $88 million domestic in its opening weekend. That's quite a bit for an R-rated superhero film. That's a lot. So, Chris, in a nutshell, spoiler free, what were your thoughts on Logan?
Spoiler free nutshell. Best comic book movie that I've seen in a while, and quite possibly my favorite over Guardians of the Galaxy.
Mm, Them's fighting words.
Yeah.
Guardians
if
of the
Lou
Galaxy.
If Lou was here, we would have another 45-minute discussion about it.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, we already recorded our discussion show for this week, and we talk about Logan extensively, including spoilers. Though, don't worry, we give a spoiler warning first. So if you haven't seen it, you can listen to most of the episode. We give you plenty of time to shut it off. But yeah, we do give our thoughts on Logan. And Lou liked the movie, but he had some issues with it that we do discuss.
He was wrong. But...
of course. Of course
but
he was
they
wrong.
Are, they were valid points. But
yeah. No,
still, it was a phenomenal movie.
Yeah. I agree with you that it is. I think it's easily the best X-Men film. And it's because it's a character movie. It's not an action movie. Yeah. There's action in it, but it's about the characters. And it's really, I dare say it's moving. It really is. It's the perfect X-Men film. There is no X-Men film that's better than that. And I don't consider Deadpool an X-Men film. But if you want to include that in a different way than Deadpool, it is at least as good as Deadpool, if not better. Now, I'm not saying it's my favorite, but it is definitely the best.
And you know, you mentioned that it's a character story, and that's something, too, that I didn't really get to say on the discussion show, but I'll say it here, is that I think that's the reason why I liked it so much. Like, there were times when I forgot for just a brief second that it was a comic book movie. And if you just sit me down and say, hey, here's a movie, watch it, and I have no knowledge of what it is, I might not know it's a comic book movie. And I think that's what a lot of them are struggling with. I know that, like, The Dark Knight, for example, love that movie to death. And sometimes I forget that it's a comic book movie because it feels a little bit more realistic and it takes itself seriously. Whereas something like The Avengers, it tries to have this line between serious and comic book, and I don't think you can do that effectively. I mean, I like Avengers, but especially Age of Ultron was just very... I found it a little mediocre. I mean, I enjoyed it, but I found it a little bit mediocre. And if you just take more of these things seriously and put it in a real world perspective, I think you could pull it off if you want to go that route. Otherwise, you do something like The Amazing Spider-Man. Both of those movies I loved, and I think that those were true, honest to God, comic book films or comic book style films rather than, you know, trying to have some serious character drama.
Right.
Logan, on the other hand, I think wasn't comic booky at all and was a more real world picture than really most everything that we've seen before, with a few exceptions like The Dark Knight.
Right. I mean, this is essentially a character driven sci-fi movie. It's not a superhero movie. I don't know. I can't say it's flawless. There are a few pacing issues, especially early on, but it is as near flawless a comic book film as we're likely to get. It's phenomenal. So, but we do talk spoilers this week in our discussion episode, which should be available this Saturday. Check it out. Check it out. Mm-hmm. Check out the movie if you haven't seen it already. It is worth going out of your way to see. It is R-rated. It is definitely not for kids by any stretch.
That's something I want to say, too, before we move on, is that don't take your kids to see this. Yeah, I don't care how much they love Wolverine. If you're taking, like, a 7, 8, 9-year-old here, like, just don't do it. I would wait until probably 12 or 13 at the very least.
Yeah. It's
even if your kids are more mature for their age, don't do it.
It's visually violent and there are some emotionally disturbing scenes in it.
Yeah.
Definitely not for kids.
Wait for the TV edit.
Yeah. Yeah. Chris, you are a bit of a gamer. Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Any Nintendo in your history?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
I was a big N64 player back in the day. That was, I think, if I recall, that and the Game Boy was the first system that I truly owned.
Okay.
I got a PlayStation shortly after, but yes, I had an N64 and a Game Boy. I stopped after that because, well, me and my stepbrother had a GameCube too, but I didn't really play that as much as I could have. But I love their handheld products. I have a DS and a 2DS.
Okay.
Both which I love. So this next topic is a little interesting to me.
Okay. So we mentioned the Nintendo Switch.
Mm-hmm.
And it's wild success on its launch date earlier this week. And for the most part, the reviews have been really good. People seem to really, really like it. There have been some technical issues. One of them is that there are some faulty pixels on the displays. Now, I am OCD. This would drive me absolutely insane.
Yes, me too.
Nintendo's official response on this is exactly what PlayStation's official response was when people brought this up about the PlayStation Vita way back in the day and about the PSP. And that is, well, it's an LCD screen. Sometimes LCD screens have bad pixels. Okay, my iPhone doesn't. And if my iPhone did and I took it to Apple, they'd be like, oh, you've got some bad pixels. Here's a different one. So I'm sorry, but I don't see that being a legitimate thing. I know a lot of televisions now are LED, but back when they were LCD, didn't have bad pixels there either. Didn't have bad pixels on pretty much any other LCD device I've owned. Now, I know, yes, it is part of the manufacturing process and it can happen, but do some quality control. And when it does happen, don't give people a device that they are going to look at and play video games on. They're going to spend hours staring at this screen and it's going to have parts of the screen that don't work right.
Yeah.
So what I would do if you're going to buy one, go someplace where you can buy an extended warranty for it. I mean, listen, it's a portable device. You're going to be dropping it in and out of a dock. It's got a screen on it. Anything that's portable, you should probably get something like that on anyway. So Best Buy, Toys R Us, various other places all offer protection plans. If you get it and then there is a bad pixel, take it back to the store you bought it from and they'll swap it.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
And see, this is exactly why I tend to avoid launch day game consoles, be it consoles themselves or handhelds. I think the only console that I've ever received on launch day was the Nintendo DS.
Hmm.
And I don't remember exactly why I wanted it, but maybe it was for Super Mario 64 DS. That might have been it. But I mean, that one didn't really have any issues, but like what I don't get why people still just buy the launch day buzz.
Well, but the thing is the LCD screen issue isn't going to be resolved later.
True.
I don't see them changing their manufacturing process. Over this. I don't. And you know what? When they came out with the Wii U, they didn't have this issue with the Wii U launch.
Yeah. I think that, like you said, they just need to do better quality control and, you know, not, or at least offer up, you know, reasonable solutions that's not just, oh, sorry, my bad.
Well, it gets worse. If you put any of the grippy things on what are they calling the controllers?
I Joy-Cons don't know.
Or something. The There are controllers that will slide onto either side of the LCD screen on the Nintendo Switch, or you can detach them and hold them individually in each hand like the old style Wii controllers, or you can clip them onto a frame that then makes them look like an Xbox controller. And they each have their own Bluetooth internally that connects with the console. And there are a couple of issues with them. One is that if you put an adhesive grip on them, like some people like to do, or a skin on them for customization, or on the actual LCD screen itself, apparently when you then peel it off, it damages the device underneath. To the point where now all of the third parties that have made such things are now recalling them. So keep that in mind. Additionally, the controllers, remember how I said they're Bluetooth and they each connect with the base station? Well, not the base itself, but the primary Switch device. The one on the left apparently often loses connectivity. Now, the LCD screen thing, only a small portion, small percentage of people should be experiencing that. But the issue with the controllers, apparently a lot, like the vast majority of people are having that happen. So you'll be running around in the Zelda game and you'll stop moving, but Zelda will keep running for a good 10 seconds until the controller reconnects. I don't know that much about the Zelda game, but I know in other games I've played, if you're anywhere near a cliff, that could be a problem. If you're anywhere near an enemy encampment, that could be a problem.
Or in the middle of a fight.
Middle of the fight. Yeah, that could be a problem. So Nintendo has given an official statement saying that you should not use them near aquariums, behind a television, in or under a metal object, near a microwave. Okay, well, that's, most of those seem kind of obvious to me, and I'm not really concerned about that happening. I don't have an aquarium. I don't play it in my kitchen near the microwave. Mm-hmm. No problem.
Nobody sits behind their TV.
Right. And who plays in or under a metal object?
I mean, yeah.
I don't know what kind of cage your parents keep you in, but if they're keeping you in a cage, I'm imagining they're also not getting you the latest, greatest video game system. So,
yeah.
However, also not near a wireless router, not near wireless headphones, wireless printers, laptops, tablets. Okay. Active USB 3.0 devices. Okay, fine. Also not near a cell phone.
Really?
But that's okay.
That's the point that just gets me.
Nah, who's going to have a cell phone near them while they play video games? Come on. It's not like you've got one of those sitting in your pocket.
Maybe that's Nintendo's way of saying, get off the cell phone and play our games for a little bit.
That still doesn't mean I'm not going to have it in my pocket with me, though.
That is true.
And come on. You know, my Xbox controller doesn't disconnect. My PlayStation controller doesn't disconnect. Like, yeah, I understand. Wireless interference, RFI, various other things, it's going to affect Bluetooth connectivity. I get it. I just find it interesting that none of my other devices have any problems. Mm-hmm. Just this one. I'm not saying I have a problem with this one, but, like, you know, it's kind of iffy when all the other manufacturers in the world have figured out how to not get it be a problem. Everyone from cell phone manufacturers to, oh, your competitors with their video game systems. There's a YouTube video I saw online, someone popping their controller open and soldering an additional wire onto the Bluetooth antenna, and said not only does it resolve the issue, it increases their Bluetooth range. So, you know, use at your own risk, but that might be a good solution. Other problems, there are, I think, four games three games, not including ones you can purchase through their online store. There's the Zelda Breath of the Wild game. There's 1-2 Switch, and there's Bomberman and Just Dance. Okay, so four games. Just Dance is a remake of an old game. Like many of their upcoming games, such as the Super Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, Skyrim, etc. Bomberman, it seems to be more of a simple game. I've never played any of the other Bomberman series. Zelda is apparently a really good game. They're saying it's the best in the entire series.
Really?
Yeah.
Like the...
People are loving
Legend
this.
Of Zelda 1.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. People are saying this is the best Zelda game ever made. Open world RPG. They're saying it is absolutely phenomenal. It's also available for the Nintendo Wii U. That being said,
wait, that's still a thing.
Yeah. Oh, my son still loves his Wii U. And actually I like it too, because then I can turn the television on because it has a display on the game controller. And then I can watch TV while he's playing his game. And there are some decent games for it. The Mario Maker game is pretty good. Splatoon is really good. It has Minecraft, which my son loves. I mean, it's not a bad system. It really isn't. It's better than the Wii. If for no other reason, then you can also use Wii controllers with it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was very underrated.
Hmm.
I think the main thing that was a problem for it, especially up until Splatoon came out, was much like I think what the problem with the Switch is going to be, and that's game selection.
Yeah.
1-2 Switch is, aside from Zelda, this is the other main game that people are looking to get. And the problem is these games cost $60 a piece. And 1-2 Switch is basically a tech demo. And should have been released with the console. The console does not come with the game at all. So I don't understand why I would pay $60 for a bunch of very basic mini games that are not even nearly as good or as interesting as the Wii Sports game that came for free with the Nintendo Wii.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is I hate to say it, but it's an insult. I mean, it really is insulting that Nintendo expects customers to pay $60 for this.
I'm still upset that portable games are as expensive as they are. I love my 2DS. I think it's the best. Well, I don't have a 3DS because I don't buy the 3D aspect of it. But that the 2DS and the 3DS, given that they're the same system pretty much, I think that's Nintendo's best handheld. Mm-hmm. And I would have more games for it if it wasn't for the fact that they cost $40. And I know that's just me being nostalgic for the days when new release handheld games were $25 to $30. But I mean,
but the games are better now than they were back in the Game Boy days. So the development costs are a little higher too. I get it for some of the games that are a little simpler and basically rehashes of mobile games being maybe drop them down to 19.
Yeah.
But some of the heavier duty DS games, I can see them being 39. I get it.
It's just, I don't understand $60 for this. It's just, no.
Listen,
I'm sorry, but
$19 for 1-2 Switch, I would buy and I would grumble about it because I know my son would want it, so I would still get it for him.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I've paid $5 for iOS games that are so much more in depth than this.
Yep.
This just, it's ridiculous. I'll be able to give a better review of the system later on. We got my son one for his birthday. He doesn't know it. His birthday is the beginning of April. So I've got to basically sit on it for a month. We picked up the Zelda game. There's not really a lot else coming out for a while. Super Mario Kart 8, we'll probably get that for him as well, but that comes out at the end of April. Splatoon 2 still does not have a launch date yet. Skyrim, I don't know whether that has a launch date. It's coming this summer. The Mario game doesn't come out until the holiday season. I really don't understand the lack of launch games for this. I mean, four games available at launch, and one is, like I said, a tech demo, and one is Just Dance.
Mm-hmm.
I
think, though, that's something that hasn't Nintendo sort of had that problem before, where they have, well, that, I think maybe the DS had not a lot. I'm trying to see how many games that the DS
had. It had more than four, though.
Yeah. Yeah, there were 11 games for the DS launch. So, I mean, yeah, that's more. And, you know, you have, like, the PS3 didn't have a lot of launch titles.
But it was in double digits.
Yeah. One or four, really? I mean,
yeah.
When, you know, the only flagship one is Zelda.
And effectively, I'm calling it two. And one of them being Bomberman.
Yeah.
Just Dance is basically, I mean, yeah, okay, technically it's there, but it's just a port of what's already been out for the Xbox 360, let alone the Xbox One.
Mm-hmm.
And then again, 1-2 Switch is a non-game. It's a tech demo. So I'm not counting that. So you've got basically Zelda and Bomberman. That being said, the system looks impressive. The Zelda game apparently is incredible. Also, it does not run Netflix or Hulu or any sort of streaming. Another thing that the Wii U did do. So this is basically, it is a Nintendo Zelda game system right now.
Yeah.
And that's it. And it's going to remain a Nintendo Zelda game system until April 28th when Mario Kart comes out, or until they update the operating system so that you can at least watch Netflix on it or something.
Mm-hmm. Now, are they supposed to in the future, or?
Haven't heard.
Mm.
As in, see, that's, it has not been stated.
Because the 2DS and 3DS have those capabilities. Like, you can download those apps.
Mm-hmm.
And from what the times I've used them, it's done pretty well.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I've actually run Netflix on my, I have a 3DS. I have the new 3DS. I think that's the stupidest title for a system.
Yeah.
And actually I don't mind the 3D aspect of it. I thought it was going to be more gimmicky than it is. It actually, I think, holds up well.
But, yeah, I would never use it. And I tested, because I like the fold covers, but I went to a store and I tested what felt better in my hand, the bigger 3DS or the 2DS, mm-hmm. and the 2DS fit better. So
the 2DS definitely, I think, feels better in your hand. My son has a 2DS because they advise kids not to do the 3D thing mm-hmm. for developmental reasons. I prefer, as far as like the feel of the controls in my hand, the 2DS, I think it's way better.
Yeah.
Having the controls in the middle of the device instead of like way down at the bottom. And then you feel like you're kind of balancing the entire device on your fingertips.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you.
And as someone who grew up with the Game Boy Color and the Game Boy Advance, and to a lesser extent, the Game Boy SP, it feels a lot better than.
Oh, yeah.
Than what could have been.
All right. Finally, Fortune Magazine reports that McDonald's is finally going to be offering not just mobile payment, but mobile ordering. So, I don't know why this is that big a deal, because I've never really been to a McDonald's where the line is so long that it's that much of a problem that you're sitting there thinking, man, if I just ordered this through my phone. And
I can,
well, even then, like, you still have to have someone at the counter to give it to you. And half the time, if there is a long line, it's because the people at the counter are either busy or they're in the back being not busy.
Yeah. I can see it for like big cities. I know when Lou and I went to New York Comic Con last October, it was Saturday night, and we were about to head back to catch the train for our hotel, and the food court and the train station had already shut. So we went to McDonald's that was nearby, and I mean, it wasn't crowded, but it was a smaller McDonald's, and they had a probably three or four people in front of us that had already ordered, and it was probably a good 10-minute wait for our food, which is fine for New York City, but I'm like you, that's a rare thing that I'm not used to.
Mm-hmm.
Aside from that, there's only been one time when I've been to a McDonald's where it was there was a line, and that was only because it was in a college town where I live, where there were a bunch of drunk college students because it was like 1 o'clock in the morning. So that's it. Mm. But I mean, it's fine that they have it, I guess, for convenience sake. Well,
yeah, but on the flip side, you're getting food that's being reheated.
Mm-hmm.
Do you really want to have your food reheated and then sitting on a counter for, I don't know, 10 minutes or however long it takes you to show up?
Yeah, probably not. And another thing, or another complaint against this is that I know there were, I think it was, I was at a Starbucks once, and they have the mobile ordering thing, which I've never used. I know that my roommate has, and I didn't really ask him to see how it went off, but I know I was at a Starbucks, and someone came in and said, hey, I have a mobile order. And they're like, okay, what is it? And then he said it, they're his name, and then they looked, and they're like, well, we didn't get it, so what do you want?
Yeah.
So it was pointless to do the mobile order because they never got it. It didn't work. Not yeah. saying that that happens to everyone, but it's an obvious situation. I just think it's fine that they have it because, again, there's how many McDonald's in the world?
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, if you don't, this is going to be beneficial to a fair amount of people.
If you don't like it, you don't have to use it.
Exactly.
So, I mean, I can sit here and gripe about it all I want, but the reality is I can just ignore the fact that it exists if I want, and the people who want it will have it, and that's great. Now, the other thing Fortune Magazine says that they are working on bringing to McDonald's that I think would, it's either going to be a great success or a catastrophic failure, is delivery.
Yeah.
And part of my concern is that it will be so successful that so many people will want delivery in some areas that they won't be able to keep up, and it will, especially at certain times, and it'll be like an hour for your McDonald's food to arrive cold.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a little skeptical on that one. And that's aside from things like delivery charge and stuff like
yeah.
that. But, and tip, I mean, you know, you get a couple of things off the value meal and a Coke, and it costs you $5, and then delivery charge of $5, and then plus a tip of another dollar or two. I mean, now you're looking at $12 for $5 worth of food.
Exactly. And so, it might not even be good by the time that you get
right.
it. I know right. I hate going through the drive-thru and take, like, let's say I'm on my way home from work or something, and I'm like, oh, I might as well just get McDonald's or whatever. I always try to eat there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not even just McDonald's. Any really fast food place I go to, I like to eat there because I hate getting it and bringing it back to the apartment, because by the time I get here, it's a little cold, and depending what you get, some of the food can be soggy.
Yeah.
And it's just frustrating. So I usually just eat there, or worse yet, in my car.
Yeah. I'm curious how the delivery thing is going to work out. I'm sure there are going to be caveats, like a certain minimum price or a certain size yeah. order. I think for larger orders, it might be okay, but
yeah. I mean, there was a time, I mean, I know I can think of a few times in my life where a mobile ordering for that would have been beneficial. I know that my apartment, I think it was this past Thanksgiving. They have like some event here for people at down at the office for people that couldn't go home for Thanksgiving. And they just had like different food from around town. And one of them, funny enough, was like a bunch of cheeseburgers from McDonald's. And they had to call ahead to get it all ordered, have someone from the apartment complex go pick it up and then bring it back here, all while fighting rush hour traffic. So they didn't get back here for a long time. But that would have probably been an instance where delivery would have been useful.
Yeah. Well, I think that's going to do it for this episode. We're going to skip the what were they thinking. I'll save that one for next week because we're running a little long here. But
all right.
That's going to wrap it up for Random Chatter. Don't miss our discussion show later in this week where we're going to be talking about Logan. We've got another little short, brief topic prior to that as well. But we want your feedback. Send us emails. The best way to reach us is going to be randomchatter@randomchatter.com. And we would love to know what you think about this.
Yep. You can also find us online. We have our Facebook accounts, facebook.com/randomchatternetwork. The show Twitter is @randomchatter. That's also the network Twitter. So it's where you get all of the releases as they get posted to the website. My Twitter is @thecurseofchris. Eric, what is yours?
Mine is @EricBlythe. That's EricBlythe.
And you can find all of our shows at randomchatter.com. I'm not going to list them all here, but we have obviously the main Random Chatter shows, general entertainment stuff, Star Wars content, and some television podcasts as well, including Crash Couch.
Yes.
Which if you're not watching The Expanse, you need to do that and also listen to Crash Couch. I actually had a Twitter follower this past week who is a listener of a few Random Chatter Network podcasts. He said, "Oh, I'm loving The Expanse." I'm like, "Okay, so you're listening to Crash Couch, right?" He's like, "Nope, but I'm going to right now."
Awesome.
Yeah.
Good.
So,
all right. Well, you know, we love hearing about that kind of stuff because that's an example of someone kind of spreading the word and telling other people about things. And in that case, it was us. And I guess we get to take the credit for that one, but we also love it when we hear about people who are listeners who are telling other people about it and they become listeners. So help us spread the word about the shows, not just this, but anything on the Random Chatter Network. Tell your friends about us, leave us reviews wherever you're getting the podcast. And, you know, it's a great help to us, but it's also a great help to you because then the community that you're a part of continues to grow.
And, you know, if you even have that special friend that watches Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., every week, tell them to go listen to Jay and Josh's podcast, Case Files.
Yeah. Yeah.
Stuff absolutely. Like that. So you can also listen to us live. We're not live currently, but we usually are on Tuesday nights doing, I think we do Echo Base, our Random Chatter shows, right? That's what we do live.
So we do those Tuesday nights shows. Yeah.
You can find that at randomchatter.com/live. We do all of that through Twitch, so you can find us there, too, if you don't want to go through our website. It's just called Random Chatter Network, so follow us there.
Yeah. If you head over to twitch.tv, if you follow Random Chatter Network, when we go live, you get notifications, or at least you can optionally have it notify you. And there are mobile apps and stuff. You can get the mobile notifications as well. And there are no ads during the shows like there used to be on Ustream, which is pretty cool. Now, for the rest of the month of March, I don't know exactly what the stream is going to be like. I'm normally the one that facilitates the streaming, but I'm going to be traveling a lot this month. So for March, maybe up and down a little bit, but it is something we will continue to do. Just bear with us over the next few weeks. Also, quick shout out to everybody who's helped support us on Patreon. We really, really appreciate it. We can't wait to meet some of you when we go down to the Celebration Convention in Orlando next month. So really looking forward to that. But if you'd like more information on how to help contribute to the network, but in a way that gives you something back, head over to patreon.com/randomchatter for more information. The music you hear in this podcast is The Perfect Heist by Blue Stolly. and as silly as the sentence sounds, all trademarks are owned by their respective owners. So have a great week, and until next time, take care.